discuss Straw Dogs.
Okay, before we go into Straw Dogs, let's talk about Peck and Paw for a minute. So, have you seen The Wild Bunch?
No, okay. I need to watch that one, too.
Honestly, before you have seen any of these films, you should have seen Wild Bunch, because the less violent rated R horror westerns you watch before you see that movie...
The better, because the more I'll appreciate the violence that are in that movie.
Yeah, because the violence really has always has something to do with the point of Peckinpah films.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, was a little bit weak on his part, because he was always explaining how this violence, people glorified it, and he was always upset. He was in interviews. He was like, why are people so excited and turned on by this violence that I'm showing these films? He said I'm trying to show it negatively, but it's turned into he invented the slow motion exploding blood gunshot thing. That was him. He invented. No one ever used slow motion for violence.
I wonder though how many directors are actually like fucked up kids about violence. Really, I mean, because I understand his point, I agree. I'm like the violence is to make that visceral point. This is disturbing. It's to disturb you. It's to bother you. You're not supposed to get off
to it. Eventually, it becomes this thing, though, where you...
Some people, I guess, get bothered by it. I mean, for me, there's cartoon level of violence, like in a horror movie, where it's just ridiculous and it's funny. And then there's, like, a greater realism. Like the violence in Proposition, when that guy's head got shot off, that was pretty, like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was a little unrealistic. It was a little too cartoon. It almost seemed like a melon. I'm not
totally,
sure.
Yeah.
I question if... what kind of gun that was that did that.
Yeah, I think it was just supposed to be a rifle.
Yeah, it was a bit much for a rifle. But by and large, when violence is portrayed realistically with practical special effects, not visual effects, no digital blood here, Die Hard 4, it works for my point. You know, it makes me a little more of a pacifist on some level.
I'm going to ask that you see The Wild Bunch very soon, because it's...
I need to make a list.
And I don't
want... It's a Western, right?
It is a Western. I don't want to make
doesn't
it
have
sound
Robert
like...
Vaughn, doesn't it have Robert Vaughn in it?
Doesn't
it have Marlon Brando?
No.
I think
that's
something else.
I did just see something that Robert Vaughn was in recently.
Oh, he was in The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, there was something else.
I think I'm just going to watch Seven Samurai instead, because I need to do...
Have you seen
The
Magnificent Seven?
Kurosawa. No, I haven't seen
that. That's great. That really is great. And there was a long time when I was... you know, I've always had this thing since I've been in my early 20s, where, like, you know, I should see the rated R ones first. It's probably way better. Honestly, you know, a lot of those old PG westerns and stuff, those are great films.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Really fantastic films. And
I kind of want to close on that, to be honest. I kind of want to close on one of those types of more traditional westerns,
sure,
so that I can kind of come full circle to what that genre is really meant to be, and I'm not stuck on some ambiguous, this is, you know...
Okay, so, anyway, Wild Bunch is something where, you know, people talk about the violence in it. It was rated X at the time when it came out. It was re-rated before it won Best Picture, I think, because they said that they weren't going to allow it rated. Although I think Midnight Cowboy won, it was also not... you get the idea, though, when people talk about it, that it's something that's completely violent. It's not. Wild Bunch opens with a very violent scene, very, shot just so. Then there's a great deal of the film where it's these guys, who were, they're all aging. It's kind of like the one big last thing. They're all figuring out whether or not they should just kind of just fade away. The world is changing. There's automobiles. This is like the early 1900s type thing.
This sounds very interesting.
It's fantastic. It's a great film.
I'm just go get it.
It's the world is changing. There's no longer any room for men like this.
Awesome.
Yeah,
God,
that's
so perfect. And that's totally what that shit's about, too.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, I've read enough and I've seen enough other movies. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
Wild Bunch is my favorite Western. It's really, really fantastic.
I'm good. I'm sold.
Yeah, you watch that. Straw Dogs, I think, is fantastic because it honestly is a Western. It's a movie about this American professor
of mathematics.
Yeah, in England. Yeah, Dennis Hopper's freaking out.
He's doing the mommy thing, right? After snorting glue.
Yeah.
Is it just oxygen?
I think so.
It might be nitrous. It's nitrous, I think. I think it's nitrous. He's hitting up on the nose. No, nitrous is pretty heavy-handed.
So in Straw Dogs, it's this American professor in England And honestly, you still come away feeling like this was a Western because it's got all the
Well, themes. On its own area.
Still, you see people in huge cardigans and with sheep, and, uh-huh. and you think, yeah, it's, you know, you don't think Western. You know?
No, you don't.
But it comes away with the themes about, you know, the siege and protecting the homestead and the thing about, you know,
There's a gang of thugs.
Who's in charge in this lawless town?
You think Westerns have an aspect of women as your women as your property?
Certain ones do, absolutely. How many Westerns were there about John Wayne or some dudes going to find some women who were taken off by
the
Indians?
Searchers? You're talking about the Searchers,
not just the Searchers. There's a lot like that. There's a lot. I've seen seven or eight.
Well, the Searchers, like the Searchers. I don't think that Natalie Wood is considered a problem.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that that's, like, the definitive thing about it. It's just that, like...
I mean, it is definitely the gender roles are more stringently defined absolutely. As women folk
and
do the women things.
Straw Dogs being set in the age that it is, where there's all this change, and they talk mm-hmm. about in the background, he left America because he didn't want to deal with what was going on there.
I guess it was the Vietnam conflict.
I think there was also the whole race thing still coming to a head.
No, like, there was something more strict to him, though. Maybe it was involving something political about the university where he was at or something. It was almost
very,
like,
very possibly.
I don't remember, though.
But the point was about his character. He didn't want to get involved. It was one of those things
I'm just going to escape.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those movies that's set up so that what would happen is this main character, I don't want to be involved, gets pushed into something which is what happens, but it doesn't happen when you think about it, and you watch the movie more than once, it doesn't happen like you think it would. And it ends up that this guy's motives are totally screwed up, and he's made up this thing, this reason in his mind why he should now act in uh-huh. such a terrible, violent way to protect, you know.
I know. I've only seen it the first time. But I mean, I don't know. I think I just pay more attention to movies now when I decide to finally watch them.
Yeah.
So I really, because I know I'm not gonna live forever.
Yeah, I've written a few papers on Straw Dogs, so I've watched it way too many times.
You'll be able to like cover me then whenever
I
screw
something
up.
Go ahead and you do your thing with it. Here.
Okay, I agree with you about some of the Western theme stuff. So basically, there's a gang of thugs. But it's that whole, like, we're your buddies, but we're not. They're bullies. It's their town. They don't like him. He's the intellectual. They're not. All that other garbage. Right. All that stuff is there. He's the coward because he's escaped one thing, and he's going to eventually have to deal with it.
Yes.
I mean, you just get really normal stuff, very true to life, about that relationship between a bully and a coward, which is the whole, like... they show up to work on his roof, and then they don't, and he has some conflict with them about like paying them or something like that.
Yeah, because they're not basically doing the quality of work that he likes, and they're not showing up when he wants them to.
Exactly, and you know, which is a reasonable thing. You know, in real life, you just have
Absolutely.
To be able to throw down like that, and it's not violent, and it doesn't need to be crazy, but it becomes this whole thing that's like, okay, I like that. I like that sort of realism in that. I also like that when they took him hunting, they were real, like, conscious of the weapons. Like, they were, like, smart. Like,
yes.
You got to keep the safety on them. You know, they were almost kind of friendly and good to him about that. Because
he's accidentally holding the gun toward a guy, he kind of pushes it away to the side to let him know you don't do that.
Yeah. They weren't being dicks about it. Even though that one guy was back at the ranch taking his wife to town or whatever. He was making time with the other guys.
Making time
in such a fascinating intercut between that and the hunting.
Amazing, yeah. A rape scene that ends up turning into just a regular sex scene. Yeah.
Which is always, I don't know, I don't like stuff like that where it's it kind of kills the sympathy for the woman. It's kind of like, well, what is she?
Well,
just
it does, but at the same time, that is supposed to be.
Is that supposed to be the point?
No, well, that kind of is. It's the thing that
she doesn't want a coward. She wants a man.
Exactly,
the man will take what he wants.
These guys are the stereotypical man who work hard with physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard drinking guys. They just want to bang some chicks and
they're a man's man.
And something deep down in her kind of wants that out of the guy that she married, who she does love and everything. But she kind of wants that.
He's kind of a weak ass.
Exactly, and he's not just going to take what's his, which is shown in their first scene before they have sex, where he very carefully sets his alarm. He takes off his glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
He's doing all these things that are kind of methodical, while she just wants to kind of get down to it. And she keeps kind of stopping and smiling at him, bemused.
That's
ahead,
true. He's like that. Okay, so he's that kind of guy. He's the non-confrontational, cowardly, methodical guy. He's not the man's man. He's not the take-what-he-wants brute that apparently this chick just loves. She just eats that shit up, right? So how does this movie go? Okay, yeah. The retard guy... They think that he's that's right, it was David David what's his name, the bad guy in Tron, not Moses, because Moses was in Tron also,
right? Not Moses.
Moses from South Park. I'm getting so drawn off now because of South Park. with how he wanted the macaroni sculptures and stuff, like that was what he actually wanted. They think that he's killed their sister, the thug's local sister, who's a tart and an idiot. And I mean, I don't know. At a certain point after that rape sex scene, I just was like, okay, I don't care about these women. These women are junk, whatever.
Right.
And I didn't care what happened to them. And I really felt no sympathy towards whatever actions were going to be occurring to them.
Also a Peckinpah thing. Peckinpah doesn't have...
Kind of a misogynist.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, then, yeah.
And Pauline Kael called him that lovingly. Like, I love the misogyny, the fascism in these films. And Peckinpah flipped out about it. He was like, how dare you? Like, because he sees things in the films he made that obviously weren't there, I guess, you know?
Okay, well, no, I like that kind of. Maybe it's like he likes being a post-facto contrarian.
Yeah, totally.
So, the retard guy is innocent, and he ends up at the guy's house, at Dustin Hoffman's house, and then the thugs come, and they're going to give their thug justice to him, not knowing what's really going on. Probably, in a lot of ways, not even really giving a shit about what's going on.
He's not 100% innocent.
Oh, that's true.
That's the thing.
He had done something in the past.
He accidentally kills the girl. He takes her into the shed, and he accidentally kills her when he's trying to quiet her down when people are walking by. He lays her down, her eyes are wide open, there's blood coming out of her mouth. Yeah, it's in the Criterion Collection. That's the only one I've seen. He even says in the plot synopsis he accidentally murders her after she's made advances toward him.
I don't remember it being his fault.
It's kind of ambiguous because it almost looks like she's just looking up at him, but he's quieting her down. He has his hand over her mouth. The people are running past the shed. People are calling for her, and he's freaked out because he knows they're probably gonna kill him even if they find him with her at all. So he's covering her mouth. He suffocates her basically. He turns and looks at her. And she's just, her eyes are completely wide open, staring up at him. Her head kind of falls back, and he's very frightened, lays her down.
I don't know why I would have forgotten that. That's just so weird. Well, now I guess I have to sort of pseudo reassess the movie. That's unfortunate, because I thought that I thought she just ran off after getting mad at him about something, and then was doing her own thing, and then they found her later. And had nothing to do with him, that he was completely kind of innocent of that. Okay, so then he's still kind of guilty.
Yeah, and they haven't even found her at the end. Those guys who are related to her,
Those guys who are related to her aren't going to find anything.
No,
at the end.
Well, I know, but I mean, they haven't found her. They're just kind of drunkenly assuming that the guy did something with her, and they're correct. That's the thing, you know?
Sure. Okay, well, then this is okay because I'm a coward. I'm the kind of guy that a woman would definitely cheat on, for sure. I know all this stuff by myself. I'm perfect. I'm pretty much. I take my glasses off. You know what? I don't want to. I'm not going to enjoy
you
having.
You take your glasses off.
They'll be broken. I'll step on them the next day. I'm not going to enjoy having sex if I know I'm going to step on my glasses.
You just said that you're the type of person that a woman is going to cheat on.
Uh huh. Yeah. It's fantastic. No, I know all this. So, okay. This is how it has to go sometimes. It's kind of like in Champloo at the end, where they're like, that guy with the gardener is going to go do something, and they're like, yeah, like he hasn't had to use a sword in like 20 years. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Now, granted, that's not the same as a coward, and I'll give you that. But a coward has to eventually become a man at some point, right? He just says, it's his house, the guy's there, he's waiting for the law to come. He's not... you know, giving the guy a free pass.
Right.
Trying...
Yeah, he's trying for his justice to be...
But it's not his justice.
It's
justice.
You're right.
It's the unforgiven justice. It's what we've all agreed on, which is like, this is the way this goes, yeah. Okay, people?
Because you follow due process.
You don't always know what's going on, and if your thuggery crap is just based on hearsay or how you feel or how drunk you are, that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
And that's what it was then. It was based on those guys being drunk and thinking that they wanted, and it was based on them wanting to do, you know, just, it was just, it was a lot of things culminated. A lot of tension. That movie is filled with tension from the fucking first second. Yeah. I love that about it. I'm really starting to like tension a lot more and stuff. And I'm finding it in weird shit, like watching that Mad Men show. Like it's got a lot of tension in it for some reason, even though there really shouldn't be. So at the end, I'm totally in his corner for what he does. He just says, no, my house, you guys, the law's coming, the guy's here, everything's okay. I'm not, no, you know. They might as well have been Irish for all I'm concerned, because they needed gruesome hands getting turned into chunks of raw steak or something.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you mess with justice. What we get in this postmodern anti-hero is we're informed on this sense that the system is corrupted. Now, if the system is corrupted, it's now okay to pursue a higher form of justice outside of the system. Is that the case in Unforgiven? Some say yes, some say no. I say the whores just were pissed off that they were whores. And I mean, only the lead one that got cut up didn't even really care. I mean, she felt bad about it and she was miserable, but it was the older one that was like sick of being a whore. It was more just like, it was all instigated based on that.
Well, that was still a thing, like, you know, you don't commit violence toward women. It was that kind of basic thing.
Yeah,
you know, like,
you're right.
And I think that was something where...
So maybe Hackman's leniency was a little too ambiguous in the beginning. Why was he so lenient?
Yeah. Because he felt like you did. They're just whores.
Well, no.
The bad guy.
I would not have been as lenient. I mean, I wouldn't have been lenient really at all. I mean, you know, I don't know, but it was kind of like... It was kind of like a ref in a pro sport game where at a certain point... You make your call, and maybe it's not the same call you make every time, but you make your call, and you go with it, and that's just the way it is. You can't be right every time. You can't be perfect all the time.
Yeah.
But he wasn't 100% wrong either, you know? So, you know, it's just that's how the system works. And, boy, and in Straw Dogs, you'd be just like, I'm going to stay here and guard this stuff. And you guys are going to try to come in, and you guys are doing wrong. And it's not like it's your world and your rules, because your world and your rules don't even work. They kill the police officer, right?
Yes. Yeah.
They kill the police officer that comes. It's from their world. So I don't agree with whatever Peckinpah's post facto contrarian stance that the thugs were actually doing the right thing, because it was.
I don't think he thinks they were doing the right thing, but the one thing I did read, in the Criterion Collection, you can read a letter he writes to Pauline Kael that they have a copy of, and he says in it, "Don't you get it? David is the bad guy." I guess she was saying how it was fascist and this and this and this, and she said that she would like give a positive review still.
Mm-hmm.
And he said you need to understand something. He's the bad guy. Everything that has happened is his fault, and he. For instance, I'm just looking at a site right now, and they said that the German title of the film translates to "He Who Sows Violence," basically saying, you know, like, I mean, they even just call it that straight out, is that this guy has basically, through inactivity, through not being a man or whatever it is in Peckinpah.
Well, he let it get that bad in that aspect.
Yeah.
But the main little like conflict of the retard guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that could be horribly offensive, by the way. I mean, maybe
the tard baby.
Maybe he was maybe he was autistic. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, slightly, yeah. Maybe he had ADD.
Maybe he just had ADD. That had nothing to do. That wasn't his fault. That was his fault that conflict happened.
So,
but it ended up in his doorstep.
Yeah.
But maybe the fact that the thugs felt they could push that far with him was his fault.
Yeah,
I can see that.
The real
for sure.
thing with him is his wife. It's how he handles the relationship with his wife. The story with his wife basically ends, and then this other thing happens.
Yeah.
And at that point, he decides no more. He doesn't even know. It's implied that he may get the little inkling that she ended up messing around with the guy, which was actually him raping her.
Until it turned into a not rape, right?
Right. Well, And it's that's supposed to be ambiguous because
it is. I think it pretty much is a rape.
If
it starts that way, I think that it is.
Oh, absolutely, it is a rape. Yeah, no matter how it ends. And they said the few moments of her, some people, critics are always very of this film are always they point to that and say, listen, this is garbage. This is utter misogyny because this woman wanted it. You know, like, and he's showing that she wanted it. And other people are like, listen, in reality. If this person, I mean, they say that, like, I guess in some psychologists and stuff say that if someone knows the person they're being raped by and they're being utterly traumatized by this thing, in their mind at the moment, they are going to try to do something to make it feel to them like this is not a rape while it's happening.
And go to their happy place.
Exactly, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, let's just leave it at that.
Sure. She's trying to almost, like,
get too deep into rape.
Make it feel like this was just something I was asking for. Like the victim thing where, like, maybe this is my fault. I mean, which happens with women. You know,
I suppose. I don't understand the psychology because I'm not a woman.
Sure,
so.
but I mean, you've heard all the rape.
I can understand a lot of that.
People have to be told.
I can't understand
this is
it,
not your fault. You are a victim through this thing. This is not your fault. And they have to be told that afterwards. You know, and it's like the look on her face is like, you know, maybe I brought this on myself, which, you know, she didn't.
No.
Okay, what were we talking about?
We were talking about, well, okay, the final fate, doesn't he kill all those guys? Except maybe the dumb third guy just gets his leg
because the
off,
guy so. Who was kind of more evil,
mm-hmm.
the dark-haired guy who looked like...
The guy that raped his wife?
No, that was the guy that was kind of her friend before. That was the guy who raped his wife. When the second guy came in, that guy also raped his wife at the end.
Oh, criminy.
The two guys did it. While she was starting to look like she was enjoying it with the first guy, who was her ex-boyfriend years ago.
Yeah, I remember that part. I don't
the
remember
guy who
there
looks
being...
like he's from the Monkees comes in. And you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Monkees guy comes in, and he comes in holding the gun. And the first guy who's raping her looks up at her kind of shocked. And he's kind of aiming the gun at him a little bit. And so he kind of backs off while the guy gets on her. And then she freaks out because I think he's doing her anally. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
No, because she looks like she's in a lot of pain at this point. I'm being clinical here. I'm not trying to be gross. No,
you're
seriously.
Right.
So anyway, at the end, they rush upstairs. Those two guys, the Monkees guy is upstairs with her. And he's basically trying to get her again.
Yeah, boy.
And she's screaming. And both David and the blonde-haired guy who initially raped her
mm-hmm.
run up there. And you can see...
That's right. I remember that now. They both actually don't want that guy.
Exactly.
To,
they both
they know that guy.
They both have actual feelings for her. They both acted completely differently for her. The one guy wanted her so bad that he took her.
Mm-hmm.
David wants her, and he ignores her because he feels she's a child. He's supposed to be the man. He's supposed to put an end to her silliness. You know, the way he deals with her with his math problem on the board and everything is indicative of how he deals with the rest of their relationship. So that guy, I think, the blonde guy ends up killing the Monkees guy right there.
Yeah, you're right.
And then David ends up, like, his head gets caught in a bear trap or something like that. So he puts the bear trap on top of the guy's head. He beats one guy's face in with a poker, the guy who
was
giggling.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I remember that they said that during the filming of that, I think they, Hoffman suggested that they use some sort of fruit as he was beating it, and you can see little chunks of it flying into the frame, which Peckinpah was like, that's awesome.
I use pomegranate seeds for baby brains in my students.
Oh, well, okay.
Okay, so that was what we have to say about Straw Dogs. You and I pretty much...
Oh, I could say a lot more if you want.
I'm just
tailing off here, but I could read you a paper if you
want. Yeah, read you? Yeah, just sit here.
I was looking through the paper a minute ago, and I really wish I had called one character a rape enthusiast. That's always funny when you put enthusiast after something like that. I called him soon to be rapist one part. I should have said rape enthusiast.
You totally should have. You should re-release the paper. You should do a second printing.
David, can I give you this paper again? I want you to read this one thing I think is kind of funny, and it's actually sick. And,
it's twisted.
Yeah.
It's bad news. Yeah, okay. They do different things. One supports justice, the David character in Straw Dogs.
Yeah.
Traditional justice.
Traditional justice.
One takes it into his own hands in Unforgiven.
Mm.
And in both cases, they're considered the good guy, but they're definitely considered flawed in some ways. They're both pretty apathetic.
Mm.
They're both I think antiheroes have to be that way, though. They have to not be active.
That lets things happen until a certain point, mm-hmm. because they don't want to get involved for whatever reason they have.
Yeah, exactly. In Eastwood's case, it's this whole psychosis of the fact that he's a killer of women and children.
Yeah.
And a drunk. And he'll drink, and he'll kill women and children.
Yeah.
Children. In the Hoffman character, he's an intellectual. He's a mathematician. He's not used to dealing with that kind of thing, and it really doesn't want to. It's uninvolved. It's on what level is activism required from an individual? You know, that's an interesting question. On the personal level, you know, you don't let yourself get pushed around, sure. So I think that's when it becomes, like I said, more realistic. Is the whole he's hired these guys to do a job, they're not doing it very well, and it becomes an actual conflict that people have to deal with in their real lives all the time.
Right.
You know, now I've got to deal with this guy who's being kind of a jerk, you know, whatever, you know. It's the whole guy with, you know, he's the nerd that's got the hot girl, and then her ex-boyfriend Jock comes up and jerks him around, and he's still a nerd. What do, you know?
Yeah.
How do you defend your woman without just being a meathead and in the end getting your ass kicked?
Right.
And then she would just go off with him.
And I don't know if there's any sort of answer offered up by Peckinpah as to how.
But what happens with their relationship in the end?
It doesn't say. She sits there.
It's dissolved at that point.
Yeah,
right?
She sits there completely devastated. You know, in the course of the last couple of days, she's been raped. She's seen all these guys that she used to be friends with and stuff murdered by her husband. Not really murdered, I guess it's pretty much self defense.
Well, it's death.
Yeah. Sitting there, and he kind of taps with this weird, creepy smile, puts on his broken glasses, and he gets the retarded guy out and walks him outside, and I think he starts to drive him away.
Yeah, he does. He drives
him
away.
Like, he's going to drive him to the next place of police, but since he knows the constable or whatever was dead.
Right.
And he says something like, gosh, what does he say? He says some sort of line like what happens now or something like that, and he says, like, I don't know, kind of happily or something like that. Like, I don't know. I think the movie's an absolute masterpiece just because it's so provocative.
Oh, yeah. Heavy-handed.
Totally, and like you can look at, and it's not the type of film that I ever thought I would really be attracted to, just because a great deal of it is this really kind of emotionally abusive interplay between this guy and his wife. It's almost like a play in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it definitely has that part, and she's a little grating, I'll be honest.
Oh, totally, and that's the thing, is like, is that kind of justify why he treats her the way she does? You know, like, his feelings of inadequacy come out in a sort of, like, father-daughter relationship thing toward her. Like,
I think it's a definite case of they're not on the same, like, they're not on the same emotional level, and they're not on the same, like, sort of intellectual level.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. I don't quite get that sense, though. I get the sense that, you know, she's a nice POA, and he's just kind of having fun with that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, their relationship definitely plays like a play. It's her running around being goofy and stupid, and him, like, not wanting her to be goofy and stupid. And at the same time, isn't he supposed to be working on something the whole time?
He's writing a book.
Just doesn't want to do it, and all this other stuff. There's, like, him and Holland. I don't know.
It's really, he's a guy
really
who makes excuses
movie.
For himself,
yeah, he
really
is
what he is. Yeah.
Which is also very
a
real.
He's a normal. Yeah, he's like one of us, basically. Well, that's the scary thing, is that, you know, and Peckinpah.
That was also really cathartic at the end,
oh,
though, because
totally.
It was like,
yeah.
A guy like me, kind of.
Yeah, is going to snap one day and kill everyone he knows.
No, but he doesn't snap, and
he doesn't
kill
snap.
Everyone just for the sake of killing.
He does it very, like,
he just
cold and
knows
scared.
What he's
exactly.
doing. And it's that whole alive thing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you're going to do until you're in the situation. Maybe you'll be a cannibal and maybe you won't.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the sort of thing where, like, in any person is, I think Peckinpah's thing is that humanity is innately evil. And
you think evil? Or do you just think violent and conflicted?
Sinful, whatever you want to say. And
really,
that,
he was, like, biblical about it?
Almost to that point. And that no matter how much you've covered up with society, civility.
The tropes of society.
Exactly,
and
especially straw dogs, because that guy is covered with layer after layer of American citizenry and academia and
he's a soft-spoken Clark Kent.
Totally.
He's got his glasses.
That can all be peeled away, and any man can erupt into this brutal violence.
What's needed,
exactly.
Though. I mean, and straw dogs is needed, you know? Those guys, it's kill or be killed. I think maybe I can see that sort of point of that violence of like your survival of the fittest. But I don't see it as being some kind of giant catch-all for the innate evil original sin of humanity kind of thing. I don't get that.
It's kind of the thing, like, people get pushed, you know, people who, no matter how civilized, wherever the person is, a man gets pushed only so far, his back against the wall, right. And at some point he's going to react in this animalistic, violent way.
But that's fine, too.
Wild Bunch is almost the same sort of thing, except for, as I mentioned, it's the thing about these guys are pushed against the edge of the world they have been living in. And it's come to an end. How do they react?
What do you do when there's no room for you anymore? Yeah. Where do you go when you're completely rejected by society?